الله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we continue with العقيدة الوسطية للشيخ أسامة بن تيمية رحمة الله عليه. And we had been dealing with the idea that Allah عز وجل is with us. However, we are understanding this معية or the state of being with according to the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is the most proper and adequate belief based on the apparent meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah without any philosophy or philosophizing, or however you would like to say it, right? There's no philosophy in our stuff. It's straight, logical, and based on textual evidences. Alhamdulillah. We dealt with the ayah number 4, right, brothers? معكما أسمعوا وأرى إنني معكما أسمعوا وأرى إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. Did we do the tafsir of that? نعم, we did. الآية الخامسة, the fifth ayah quoted in this context, قوله إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. This is Surah An-Nahl, verse 128. Verily Allah is with those who fear Him and those who are muhsinun. We said, is it good doers or those who do things in the excellent manner? Right? Ihsan is like excellence. Those who are in the state of excellence. طيب. Now a question, is this ma'iyya amma or ma'iyya khassa? عامة خاصة عامة جنرو yeah he specified تقوى محسنون, whereas the عامة includes the كافر, everyone. So this is definitely a special خاصة.
My understanding of special is specific to a person. Like
this is a division within khassa. Within khassa, there's one particular to individuals or qualities that individuals may possess. Okay? So this falls under the khassa, particularly a quality which may be common among a million people. Unlike the other kind of khassa which is particular, for example, to Abu Bakr, and that's only to him. Okay? طيب جميل. هذه جاءت بعد قوله وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون. All these in Surah An-Nahl. And if you punish your enemy, then punish in a manner equal to that which you were punished with. And if you are patient, then verily this is better for the patient. And be patient, and your patience is none but for the sake of Allah. And do not grieve over them, and do not have your chest constricted regarding that which they plan or plot. عقوبة الجاني بمثل ما عوقب به من باب التقوى. Then punishing the transgressor in a manner equal to his transgression is part of taqwa. وبأكثر ظلم عدوان. If you go beyond what is supposed to be done to him, then you become oppressive and transgressing. You become an oppressor and a transgressor. In case you did something and you went beyond that particular point. والعفو والإحسان. And then of course the last category is pardoning and being in a state of excellence, dealing with things in an excellent manner. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Verily Allah is with those who have taqwa and those who do deeds in the excellent manner. وَالْمَعِيَّ هُنَا خَاصَّةٌ مُقَيَّدَ بِصِفَةٍ. Then ma'iyya here is specific, particular to an attribute. Yes.
Also قَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ, right?
Those who suppress anger. Yes.
كل من كان من المتقين المحسنين فالله معه.
Whoever is among the muttaqin and the muhsinin, then Allah is with him. Okay? Any brother or sister in Islam, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, any brother or sister in Islam, salaykum, who has this quality of taqwa or ihsan, then Allah Azza wa Jal is with them. Does it mean that he lives in the same house as they do? Is that what it means? Already we're getting answers, mashallah. Obviously not, right? This is a manner, in a way, befitting Allah's majesty. And we understand with this ma'iyyah that they will be aided by Allah, they will be supported by Allah, they will be protected by Allah. This is part of the special ma'iyyah. Furthermore, Allah is with the creation in a manner which befits His majesty. How? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Him. This was the fifth one. وَهَذَا يُثْمِرُ لَنَا بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِلْحَالَةِ الْمَسْلَكِيَّةِ الْحِرْصِ عَلَى الْإِحْسَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى فَإِنَّ كُلَّ إِنسَانٍ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ. This actually, this in terms of the practical benefit, this should generate in us the keenness on ihsan and taqwa, being keen on doing things in an excellent fashion, and being pious or righteous or upright. Because each person would love that Allah Azza wa Jal will be with him, supporting him and aiding him and so on and so forth. Al-ayat al-sadisa, the sixth ayah, قَوْلُوا وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And be patient, surely Allah is with the patient. سَبَقَ لَنَا أَنَّ الصَّبْرَ حَبْسُ النَّفْسِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَحَبْسُهَا عَنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَحَبْسَهَا عَنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَحَبْسَهَا عَنْ التَّسَخُّطِ عَلَى أَقْدَارِ اللَّهِ سَوَاءٌ بِاللِّسَانِ أَوْ بِالْقَلْبِ أَوْ بِالْجَوَارِحِ. Important definition. And the Shaykh said, we have already mentioned that patience is restraining oneself, to obey Allah, and restraining it from disobeying Allah, and the last one, restraining it from becoming dissatisfied with the decree of Allah, right? Whether it is done verbally or it is done in the heart, and it's a feeling that one keeps in his heart, or it is done through the limbs, by, you know, like for example, some people beat themselves up at the moment when they hear that someone had passed away, someone close to them. Their reaction will be ripping their clothes, or be, you know, slapping their faces and so on and so forth. This is, you know, being dissatisfied with the limbs. With the heart, obviously, by not being pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the tongue by saying stupid stuff like, why me? Oh God, why did you do this to me? You know, it's nonsense. You know, I mean, what do you want, Yani? You're gonna get an answer. Allah's gonna tell you why He did this to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what is suitable for the children of Adam. We are the ones who don't understand. Anything that happens to a believer is good. Even the greatest of calamity. If the only good thing in a calamity is that you will no longer be responsible for that sin on the day of judgment, then this is sufficient goodness for you. The fact that Allah hastened the punishment for you as opposed to waiting for the day of judgment is enough goodness for someone. Let alone the degrees that will be, you know, you'll be raised because of your patience, sins will be forgiven. I mean, we cannot even enumerate the benefits that one gets from a major calamity. What else do we want? I mean, with these things we should have, you know, we have the correct understanding, so we will not have any issues when calamities do strike. As opposed to Allah letting the person go, let him have fun. And then on the day of judgment, if the calamity never strikes him in the dunya, then he will be responsible for that, all these sins on the day of judgment. And then it will be a real problem. So even the calamity, then for everything for the believer is ultimately good. Right? So alhamdulillah. This is what is intended here. وَأَفْضَلُ أَنْوَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Which is the best kind of patience, and don't read it from the book, please. What we said, there are three kinds: being patient in obedience to Allah, being patient from disobeying Allah, and being patient in terms of what calamities befall you. Which one do you think is the best kind, since we have three? But don't read, if you read from the book, don't even answer me. Tonight, the answer, I need the answer tonight. Yes, young man.
The last one.
The last one, being patient in terms of Allah's decree. What about you?
The second one.
Which is the second one? You're trying to trick me, man. Say the second one. Which one is the second one? Being patient in obeying and from disobeying Allah. That's the one you think is the best kind?
No.
Then which one? Being patient in obeying Allah?
Yes.
Okay, and what about you, sir?
The
So you agree with the young man over here? I think this is enough for today. The Sheikh says, "الصبر على طاعة الله." It is being patient in obedience to Allah. Hey, that's the best kind. Doesn't mean that the other ones are no good. It just that means that this is the most superior, the superior one. ثم عن معصية الله لأن فيه ما اختيارا. Then second in degree is being patient from disobeying Allah. You're being patient from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because both of them include a choice. You choose the decree of Allah. You have no choice. It's going to happen anyways. But the other one, you give it a choice. You may obey Allah, you may not. You may disobey Allah, you may not. You have a choice. إن شاء الإنسان فعل المأمور وإن شاء لم يفعل. If a man wishes to do something commanded, he may. If he wishes not to, then he doesn't. No one can force him. وإن شاء ترك المحرم. If he wills, he may abandon something prohibited. وإن شاء ما تركه. And if he wills, he may not leave it alone. He may just do it. ثم على أقدار الله. Then the last of those would be then being patient over the decree of Allah. Right? That was the last one. Of course this is relevant now. You may feel differently, but this is the Shaykh's opinion. لأن أقدار الله واقع شئت أم أبيت. Allah's decree is going to come to pass whether you agree with it or not, whether you like it or not. It's going to happen anyways. فإن أن تصبر صبر الكرام فإما. Here I think there's a mistake in my book. فإما أن تصبر صبر الكرام وإما أن تسلو سلو البهائم. Either you will be patient like the honorable people are, or you will lose patience like the cattle. والصبر درجة عالية لا تنال بشيء يصبر عليه إلا بشيء يصبر عليه. Now patience is a very high moral character that only can be attained when you have something to be patient concerning. There must be something that you're patient with. أما من فرشت له الأرض وردا وصار الناس ينظرون إلى ما يريد فإنه لا بد أن يناله شيء من التعب النفسي والبدني الداخلي والخارجي. As for the one whom the ground has been laid out for him with roses, and the people, you know, look at whatever he wants, people look after whatever he wants, then it's inevitable that he will get some sort of personal, you know, fatigue, whether it is psychological or physical, whether it is internal or external. ولهذا جمع الله لنبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام بين الشكر والصبر. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam two qualities: thankfulness or gratefulness and patience. فالشكر كان يقوم حتى تتورم قدمه. As for gratefulness, he used to stand up in night prayer until his feet will swell. Right? فيقول أفلا أكون عبدا شكورا. Then he would say when he would be questioned, why would you do this to yourself? And Allah had forgiven you previous and in future sins. He said, shall I not be a thankful servant? والصبر على ما أوذي فقد أوذي من قومه ومن غيره من اليهود والمنافقين ومع ذلك فهو صابر. As for patience, he was patient, صلى الله عليه وسلم, over the difficulties which and the trials which befell him. He was harmed by his people and others, and by the Jews and the hypocrites, and he was patient throughout all of that, عليه الصلاة والسلام. طيب, the seventh ayah. قوله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. How often has a small group defeated a big group, and by the will of Allah, or by Allah's leave, or Allah's permission, and verily Allah is with the patient. Again the same thing. كم خبرية تفيد التكثير. كم here, like the linguistically, I mean it means how often, right? It means how abundant or how often does something happen. يعني فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة عدة مرات. Meaning small groups defeated larger groups many times before. Many times before. أو فئة قليلة متعددة غلبت فئة كثيرة متعددة لكن لا بحولهم ولا بقوتهم بل بإذن الله أي بإرادتهم وقدرتهم. Or many small groups defeated many large groups before. However, the bottom line is they did not do so with their own will or their own power. Rather, it was by Allah's leave and permission, meaning by Allah's will and Allah's decree and Allah's ability.
ومن ذلك أصحاب طالوت غلبوا عدوهم وكانوا كثيرين. Like the companions of Talut, سورة البقرة, they defeated their enemy even though they were abundant. ومن ذلك أصحاب بدر غلبوا قريشا وهم كثيرون. And in the battle of Badr, the Sahaba defeated the Quraishis even though they were more abundant in terms of weaponry and numbers. But still Allah gave victory to the Muslims. أصحاب بدر خرجوا لغير قتال. The Sahaba in the battle of Badr went out actually not to fight. They did not go out for a battle. بل لأخذ عير أبي سفيان, but to retrieve the caravan of Abu Sufyan. وأبو سفيان لما علم بهم أرسل صارخا إلى أهل مكة يقول أنقذوا عيركم محمد وأصحابه خرجوا إلينا يريدون أخذ العير. Abu Sufyan sent a caller to go back to Mecca and scream and inform the people, Muhammad and his companions intend on taking your caravan. والعير فيها أرزاق كثيرة لقريش, and it contained a lot of wealth that belonged to Quraysh. فخرجت قريش بأشرافها وأعيانها وخيلائها وبطرها. So Quraysh went out in there with the honorable among them, the noble people among them, even though they were not really noble. And you know, they went out with their bragging and pride and arrogance, you know, thinking that they're gonna defeat the Muslims. يظهرون القوة والفقر والعزة. They're trying to show power and honor and might. حتى قال أبو جهل, until Abu Jahl said, والله لا نرجع حتى نقدم بدرا فنقيم فيها ثلاثا ننحر الجزور ونسقي الخمور وتعزف علينا القيان وتسمع بنا العرب فلا يزالون يهابوننا أبدا. What a monkey. The guy said, Abu Jahl, may Allah curse him abundantly, he said, we will not go back until we will come to Badr and we will remain there for 3 days. We shall slaughter the camels to eat. We shall pour some wine to get drunk, and we will have young ladies sing for us, right? Play music and sing for us, and the Arabs will hear about what we have done, and they will ever be in awe and have respect, you know, to us, right? And then they went out there and they got there, as they say, you know, they got whooped, right? And they went back, you know, like little children, you know, crying, and most of them died. The biggest leaders among them were killed in the battle. And you know, they were ever disgraced because of that event until today. So much so that now we're making fun of them. You see, subhanallah, they wanted something and they got the opposite. فالحمدلله غنوا على قتله هو ومن معه. So then, you know, all praise due to Allah. You know, they wanted to whatever. غنوا على قتله. إيش غنوا؟ الله تعالى أعلم. على كل حال, كان هؤلاء القوم بين 900 و1000. كل يوم ينحرون من الإبل 9 إلى 10. Now the people of Badr, the Quraishis, I'm sorry, they were between 900 to 1,000. Okay, every day they will slaughter 9 to 10 camels. Okay, والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هو أصحابه 314 رجلا. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with his companions were 314. Okay, so you got 1,000 versus 314. In math, how much is that in terms of ratio?
30%.
A third, right? Walaikum salam. You can say they were a third in number, right? 300, you know, 33. I'll leave the math with me. خلاص, inshallah. Next time I will not harass you with the mathematics. معهم 70 بعيرا وفرسان فقط يتعاقبونها. And they only have 70 camels, right? And some horses. 70 camels and horses. And they're trying to, you know, take turns in terms of using them. The other guys are slaughtering 9 to 10 every day. This is all they have as means of transportation, not for food. ومع ذلك قتلوا الصناديد العظماء لقريش حتى جيفوا وانتفقوا من الشمس وسحبوا إلى قليب من قلب بدر خبيثة. أي, with that they were able to kill the leader amongst them, you know, until they were swollen due to the heat of the sun, and then they were taken to an area in Badr which is a filthy area. فالمهم فكم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين.
Then how often has a small group defeated a large group by the permission of Allah? And verily Allah is with the patient. لأن الفئة القليلة صبرت. Why? Because they were patient. والله مع الصابرين. And Allah is with the patient. صبرت كل أنواع الصبر. They were patient in all, on all aspects of patience, right? على طاعة الله. They were patient in obedience to Allah, because Prophet ﷺ told them to go out with them, to go out with him. They didn't say no. This was obedience. وعن معصية الله. They were patient from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if they had rejected the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they would have been disobeying Allah, right? Because whoever obeys Allah, whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys the Messenger has disobeyed Allah. So they one and the same. وعلى ما أصابها من الجهد والتعب والمشقة في تحمل أعباء الجهاد والله مع الصابرين. And they were patient in forbearing or in bearing all of the effort and the tiredness and the that they were exerted in order to carry out the obligations of struggling or fighting for the cause of Allah, and Allah is with the patient. انتهت آيات المعية. وسيأتي المؤلف رحمه الله فصل كامل في تقريرها. وسيأتي للمؤلف. Now the آيات of معية have been concluded, meaning we quoted all the آيات that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah quoted to prove that Allah is with the creation. Furthermore, there should come a chapter that is dedicated to this matter, right? And usually it's going to be how to, you know, deal with the ma'iyya and the at the same time. ثانيا عفوا فما هي الثمرات التي نستفيدها بأن الله معنا. What are the things or the fruits which we benefit from when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? أولا الإيمان بإحاطة الله عز وجل بكل شيء وأنه مع علوه فهو مع خلقه لا يغيب عنه شيء من أحوالهم أبدا. First, it is to believe in Allah's encompassment of everything, and that even though He is high above and separate from the creation, He is simultaneously with them, and that nothing can pass Him by. Nothing can pass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by. Nothing regarding the affairs of His creation. Everything is known to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثانيا أننا إذا علمنا ذلك وأمنا به فإن ذلك يوجب لنا كمال مراقبته بالقيام بطاعته وترك معصيته. If we believe that, and if we know that, and we have firm belief, then this should complete state of watchfulness. We will be, you know, we will reach the complete state of watchfulness along with fulfilling Allah, obedience to Allah, and abandoning disobeying Him. بحيث لا يفقدنا حيث أمرنا. Wherein He does not miss us where we are supposed to be. He does not miss us where we're supposed to be. ولا يجدنا حيث نهانا. Nor does He find us in a place where He prohibited us from being at. Right? So that is clear, I believe. وهذه ثمرة عظيمة لمن آمن بهذه المعية. And this is a great benefit for whoever believes in this معية, which is the state of being with. And that's it. And now we move on to the very delicate, controversial matter, which is that of Allah's speech. إثبات كلام الله أو إثبات الكلام لله تعالى. Affirming the quality of speaking or speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله الآيات الدالة على كلام الله تعالى وأن القرآن من كلامه. The author, may Allah have mercy on him, mentions all of the ayat which indicate that Allah Azza wa Jal has a speech, and that the speech and the Quran is the speech of Allah. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ayah al-ula wa thaniya. The first two actually will be quoted together. قَوْلُهُ وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. And the other one, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Both of them are in Surah An-Nisa. The first one is verse 87. Excuse me. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Hadith. You know the word hadith. Right? We will see what it means. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. From which word?
قال قول statement speech right الحمد لله. This is in Nisa verse 122. ومن اسم استفهام بمعنى النفي. We said, you know, من here, it's like it's an interrogative that is intended to negate. It's an interrogative statement which serves the purpose of negation. For example, you say a person come, you know, a wrestler comes on the you know, the ring and says, who is stronger than me? What is he trying to say? No one is stronger than me. Even though he's asking, he's not really asking. He's trying to make a statement to prove something. Is this clear? This is very, even in English, this is a common expression. So even though it says here, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, who is more truthful than Allah in speech, it doesn't really mean that there is. It means that there's no one more truthful than Allah in speech. وَإِتْيَانُ النَّفِي بِصِيغَةِ الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ استفهام أَبْلَغْ مِنْ إِتْيَانِ النَّفِي مُجَرَّدًا. This, why is it done in this fashion? Because it is more eloquent. It is more eloquent. To bring it in the form of interrogative is more eloquent than simply negation. لِأَنَّهُ يَكُونُ بِالْإِسْتِفْهَامِ مُشَرَّبًا مَعْنَ التَّحَدِّي. Because it will be, يعني, he said مُشَرَّبًا, as if it's soaked with the feeling of challenge. There's a challenge, you know? Not only that Allah is negating equals in his speech or someone's speech being equal to Allah, it is challenging. Who is better than Allah in speech? Bring it on. You know, the idea, you know, no one will be able to do so. So this is why it is more eloquent to present it in this particular format. كأنه يقول لا أحد أصدق من الله حديثا وإذا كنت تزعم خلاف ذلك فمن أصدق من الله. As if Allah is saying there's no one more truthful than Allah in speech. And if you claim otherwise, then who is more truthful than Allah? No one. No one will be able to bring anyone. طيب. First actually, hadithan, we would like to keep it as a statement, right? And the second one is words. So let's translate it this way. And who is more truthful in statement than Allah? This is for haditha. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ. We will say, who is better in words than Allah. This is just one of the ways we can translate it. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَقَوْلُ حَدِيثًا وَقِيلًا تَمْيِيزٍ لِأَصْدَقٍ. This is grammar. وَأَثْبَاتُ الْكَلَامِ فِي هَتَيْنِ الْآيَتَيْنِ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ أَصْدَقٍ لِأَنَّ الصِّدْقَ يُوصَفْ بِهِ الْكَلَامِ. How do we affirm speech? This is understood from the statement أصدق. And asdaq, which is يعني in the comparative, right? You have the comparative and the superlative. You say the table is big, the table is bigger than the chair, this table is the biggest. Bigger or biggest. Now in Arabic, in English we have both the comparative and the superlative. In Arabic it's only one, right? And it means the ultimate. It could mean comparative or superlative, but the way the format of the word remains the same. Ahsan. أفضل. Because you can say أحمد أفضل من محمد. أحمد is better than محمد. And you can say أحمد هو الأفضل. أحمد is the best. Okay? So this is the way it works here. So anyways, here أصدق then we said how did I, yeah, it's in the form of then comparative. And it is used to describe speech. Someone's speech is called honest, truthful. When we say this brother is truthful, usually it means in his speech. If he tells you something, he means it. He doesn't play around, he doesn't, you know, betray you, so on and so forth. وَقَوْلُ حَدِيثًا لِأَنَّ الْحَدِيثُ هُوَ الْكَلَامِ. As for hadith, it's speech, because it is speech. Hadith is speech. And hadith has a number of meanings in the language. Hadith could be something new. It could be a narration, as in the hadith of Prophet ﷺ. And the reason why is because it's a new thing. It's a new statement. So all of these are integrated. The meanings are integrated, and consequently we have the word hadith. وَمِنْ قَوْلِهِ فِي الْآيَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ قِيلَ يَعْنِي قَوْلًا وَالْقَوْلَ لَا يَكُونَ إِلَّا بِاللَّفْظِ. The important thing is that in the second expression, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ, قِيلَ only strictly has to do with uttering. Right? It has to do with speaking. That's good. It's important because it's going to prove the quality of Allah speaking, right? That's what we're aiming at here. It has to be with the love, meaning there must be statements being uttered, something that you're saying. ففيهما إثبات الكلام لله عز وجل. In both then we have the we are affirming the quality of speech for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وأن كلامه حق وصدق, and that Allah's speech is true, is real and truthful. ليس فيه كذب بوجه من الوجوه, it does not contain any lies in any way, shape or form. Now why do the people deny Allah's speech? Because of course they're going to say, well, you speak, and if you say that Allah speaks, then you're making Allah like you, and so since Allah is not like you, then they deny the speech of Allah. This is their philosophy, you know, it's a very odd philosophy, but this is why they will deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. طيب الآية الثالثة, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ, and when Allah said, or actually this will happen in the future. Now why, who knows why do you find in the Quran when Allah speaks about the day of judgment, did the day of judgment occur or not yet? But you will find that the verses come in the past tense. You will find the events on the day of judgment very often, predominantly, they are expressed in the past tense in the Quran. Because everything is written, there you go. But spice it up a little bit. Who can bring us an evidence? Who can remember an ayah that deals with some of the events of the day of judgment, but it is in the past? We can work our Arabic right now. We can work on the Arabic. Huh? So طيب what ayah? قاف. Okay, أيوة. Go down because you're ahead. You're trying to remember the whole thing so you can remember. Because you still have a long way to go before we. وقال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. That's one example. بارك الله فيك. And his companion will say, even though we'll say, but the verb says قال. It didn't say وسيقول قرينه. His companion will say. It says وقال. He told him in Surah الصافات. فطلع فرآه في زر. Allah described the person in Jannah who made it to Jannah, and his companion who was trying to mislead him in the dunya, who went to Jahannam. قال هل أنتم مطلعون, he would say to the people in Jannah, would you like to look? فطلع فرآه في سواء الجحيم. Then he looked and he found him in the depth of the hellfire. But this didn't happen yet. This is going to happen. Why? First, because Allah had decreed everything. Second, because it is so real, so certain that this is going to happen, that Allah will use the past tense because this is going to happen. It, you know, future now is something that is uncertain. You know, you say I'm going to travel tomorrow, you may stay home. But who can speak of the future as if it's for sure? The one who decreed the future. So this is from the eloquence of the Quran again. And so consequently you find that it is. So now here even so it says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ, and Allah, it says, said, O Isa ibn Maryam, it's actually speaking about the day of judgment, that Allah will say, O Isa son of Mary, did you tell the people to take me, to take you and your mother as aliha besides Allah? He will say that it was not for me to say that. You know the ayat. على كل حال قوله يا عيسى مقول القول وهي جملة من حروف يا عيسى ابن مريم. طيب ففيها إثبات أن الله يقول وأن قوله مسموع فيكون بصوت وأن قوله كلمات وجمل فيكون بحرف. This is very important. There's an confirming the fact that Allah will say something, and that his statement is heard, because Allah will speak to Isa and Isa will hear Allah and he will reply, meaning it's something that he heard. This further means that there must be a sound, and that this statement comprises of words and sentences. So there must be letters, because how do you get a sentence or a word? By putting together letters. With the combination of letters you have a word. So when Allah speaks to Isa and Isa hears and he replies,
meaning he's speaking to him in something which he understands, which is sentences and words, and these are made up of letters. You see what's going on here? I hope so.
ولهذا كانت عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة أن الله يتكلم بكلام حقيقي متى شاء.
The belief system of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is that Allah speaks in a real speech whenever He wills, however He wills. That's what we believe.
كيف شاء بما شاء.
Whenever He wants, however He wants, in whatever manner He is pleasing to Him.
بحرف وصوت, using letters and sound.
لا يماثل أصوات المخلوقين. But the most important thing is that it is unlike the sound of the creation. So like everything else, it's a sound befitting Allah's majesty. It doesn't sound, don't be thinking of a strong, thick voice, or don't be thinking of anything, because whatever you're imagining is the what? Something you have heard before. And what you have heard before is from the creation of Allah. The creation is unlike the creator, so you will never be able to perceive what kind of sound it is. How, and all this is Allahu A'lam. But we believe and we affirm, because that's what it says, that Allah will speak to Isa, and Allah already spoke to Musa alayhi salam. His name is Kalimullah, you know, the one who spoke to Allah. So what else do people want? Allahu A'lam.
متى شاء باعتبار الزمن. Whenever refers to time, whenever he wills, when he wills, he will speak. بما شاء باعتبار الكلام, concerning speech.
He says whatever he wants as well.
يعني موضوع الكلام من أمر أو نهي أو غير ذلك.
Refers to the subject matter of the speech, whether it's commanding something or prohibiting something or whatever he wills.
كيف شاء, how he wills, يعني على الكيفية والصفة التي يريدها سبحانه وتعالى.
Whatever specific way Allah Azza wa Jal will you know, want to speak, however he decides to do it, in whatever manner is pleasing to him, then he does so.
قلنا إنه بحرف وصوت لا يشبه أصوات المخلوقين.
But we say it is with a letter and sound that is unlike the sounds of the creation.
الدليل على هذا من الآية الكريمة وإذ قال الله يا عيسى ابن مريم هذا حروف وبصوت لأن عيسى يسمع ما قال.
And the evidence, its letters, is the verse itself. And the evidence that Isa hears, because Allah told us that Isa, that Allah would speak to Isa, meaning Isa must hear him. If Allah spoke and Isa didn't hear, then this will defeat the purpose, and this will become, you know, it's become a paradox or something that something that cannot be solved, even though there's really a solution for it. على كل حال,
لا يماثل أصوات المخلوقين. It does not resemble the speech of the creation. لأن الله قال ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير.
Allah had already told us there's nothing like unto him, and he is the all hearing, all seeing.
جيد. الآية الرابعة, the fourth آية, وتمت كلمة ربك صدقا وعدلا.
And the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice. And the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice.
وتمت كلمة ربك.
Pay attention to the word كلمة, because this will make a difference inshallah.
The Sheikh said كلمة بالإفراد. It came here in the singular.
وفي قراءة كلمات. According to another way of recitation of the Quran, it actually says كلمات, words, doesn't matter.
فبالجمع ومعناها واحد لأن كلمة مفرد مضافة يعم.
And the meaning is one, because the grammatical position of the word is, it's in the state of possessive. It's in the possessive form, and it is singular. So according to the Arabic grammar, this encompasses everything. Okay? Why? Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you count the bounty of Allah, you will not be able to enumerate it, or you will not be able to do so. Now, is it one bounty that we have from Allah? No. Ni'mat Allah includes all of the bounties. Grammatically, because it's singular, in the state of possessive, it means all of the ni'am. Yani it has the plural meaning, even though the word, in terms of the format, is in the syntax, it's in the singular form. Singular form, meaning is plural.
Nakira.
Equal to that, meaning it doesn't have alif lam. Equal to that in English is what we know as collective nouns. Say, the class is happy or are happy? Hold on, I'm going to test the English man. The class is happy or the class are happy? Why? The class, how many people are in the class? No, don't count this class, man. Usually there are many students. So why do we say is and not are?
Because it's one class, not number of students.
So it's known as one of the names, they call it collective noun, right? I mean, even though it is a singular word, it doesn't say the classes, it says the class. But the meaning that we know from it is the plural, so we use is. But we know that we're not speaking about one person. We're speaking about a group of people. So I guess this is the closest thing in English that I could think of, even though I make mistakes in my grammar all the time. The couple of things I know I will pick on you concerning them, inshallah ta'ala. And so I will feel better about myself. طيب. So تمت كلمات الله عز وجل. نعم. The Sheikh mentioned that. تمت كلمات الله عز وجل على هذين الوصفين. So Allah's speech or words have been established in these two qualities. صدق. صدق. What does it mean? Truth. عدل. Justice. So let's remember them. صدق. Truthfulness or truth. And عدل. Justice. جميل. والذي يوصف بالصدق الخبر. Now what do you describe as being true? Information. News. You know, you heard something on the news. It's a true story. That's why they say it's a true story, because it's something that was narrated to you. It's a story, but it is a true story, right? Do you say it's a just story? Say it's a true story. طيب. والذي يوصف بالعدل الحكم. What do you describe as being just? ها شباب. In our daily language, in our day-to-day speech, what would you describe as being just, ya Sheikh? Like, when would you, I mean, let's say you're, you know, throughout the day, what kind of event may occur that you can describe with adil, justice? Anyone?
Action.
Action? Tayyib, more particular? Sheikh Abdul Majid?
We have not oppressed anyone.
Huh?
We have not oppressed.
No, but I mean, okay, how about a ruling? A ruling. There was a court, right? And in the court, the judge had said that this person will be put 10 years in prison. You say this was a just ruling. This was justice. The man deserved this kind of punishment, okay? So we say, then when we describe a ruling, we say it's a just ruling. If it is just, that is. And when we describe a speech, we say it is a true speech. It's a true information, true news, true story, so on and so forth. وَلِيَذَا قَالَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ صِدْقًا فِي الْأَخْبَارِ وَعَدْلًا فِي الْأَحْكَامِ. So because when we're describing Allah Azza wa Jal, the word of Allah has been fulfilled in true, in truth and in justice, that means in terms of akhbar, the news which Allah had narrated unto us in the Quran, then it is what? True. What happened to Musa and Fir'aun and Nuh and so on and so forth. In terms of rulings that Allah had ruled, what in you halal and haram and so on and so forth, just. Subhanallah. So this is a very comprehensive ayah. فكلمات الله عز وجل في الأخبار صدق لا يعتريها الكذب بوجه من الوجوه. The statement, the words of Allah in terms of the information which He narrated unto us are absolutely true. There's no lies in them, lies in them in any way, shape, or form. No lies whatsoever. وفي الأحكام عدل لا جور فيها بوجه من الوجوه. And in terms of ruling, then there's justice, no oppression. جور or جور is transgression or oppression in any way, shape, or form. هنا وصفت الكلمات بالصدق والعدل. Then the words had been described as being true and just. إذن فهي أقوال لأن القول هو الذي يقال فيه كاذب أو صادق. That means they must be statements, because it is concerning statements that we say this is true or this is a lie. Concerning statements. الآية الخامسة وكلم الله موسى تكليما. And to Musa Allah spoke directly. Okay, which is the intent to show Allah's real speech. Look, notice the repetition. وكلم الله موسى تكليما. twice. كلم تكليما. Similar to إنا نحن نزلنا عليك القرآن تنزيلا. To affirm the Quran being sent down from Allah. نزلنا تنزيلا. كلم الله موسى تكليما. And people still deny that, by the way. The people of innovation, they will say, no, no, no. What do you mean Allah spoke to Musa? And they will deny these. No way. If you they, to them, you're a kafir if you say that Allah spoke to Musa directly, even though the verses are in the Quran, right? Allah musta'an. Allahu aw lafdhul jalala fa'ilun fal-kalam waqi' min is the subject of this particular sentence, the one doing the action. And so it's the one who does it. That's why it says kallam Allahu. If it said kallam Allah, what does the meaning become? If the verse said wa kallam Allah Musa taklima, what variation is there?
Musa spoke
to Allah. طيب, but why what makes it more يعني puzzling is that Musa, the word Musa ends with what? Alif maqsura. And the alif maqsura, even if it's supposed to end with a dhamma, which is the doer of the action, it cannot, the alif maqsura cannot accommodate a dhamma. You see what I'm saying? So otherwise, in other verses, the meaning will change. For example, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Verily, the only ones who fear Allah among His creation are the scholars. Notice now, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. العُلَمَاءُ is the doer of the action. Consequently, ends with a dhamma. المفعول به, that which the indirect object in this sentence is لفظ الجلالة, Allah. So it ends with a fatha, because this is the ruling in Arabic. The doer of the action should have a dhamma, and the one the action is being done to should have a fatha. أكل الولد التفاحة. The boy ate the apple. Grammatically, you should say أكل الولد. You can't say أكل الولدي أو أكل الولد. If you say أكل الولد التفاحة, that means that the apple ate the boy. You follow me? Look how critical that is. If you say أكل الولد التفاحة, because the تفاحة ended with a dhamma, it became the فاعل of the sentence. تفاحة, the ولد becomes the مفعول به. So then the apple ate the boy. So when the ayah says إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء, like تفاحة here, مفعول به, the action is being done to it, it ends with a فتحة. If someone made a mistake and said إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء, he turned them around like we turned the earlier sentence around, it becomes Allah fears among His creation the scholars. You with me, or did I lose you somewhere along the lines? It becomes that the one who is afraid, hasha lillah, is Allah. He's afraid of who? The ulama. Why? Because you simply made the dhamma a fatha and the fatha a dhamma. This is very critical. This, you know, that's it, grammar wise. Now here, Musa, had it said, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, if somebody said, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ تَكْلِيمًا, then it becomes that Allah spoke to, that Muhammad spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? But Musa cannot have a dhamma, because it ends with an alif harf illa, which is a vowel. It ends with a vowel. It cannot accommodate a dhamma. So some of the muharrifin, some of the crazy people among the people of deviation, they deliberately made the lafzul jalala fatha, where the ayah becomes, and Musa spoke to Allah, not that Allah spoke to Musa. And they twisted the ayah by changing the fa'il to maf'ul bihi, because Musa, either way, you cannot change that. So the meaning may be entertained. Did I lose you? Maybe I did. I'm sorry. The bottom line is, I don't know how I got here. Ala kulli hal, the Shaykh said, Allahu alafdhu jalala fa'il fal kalam waqa'min. So this is important. You will see eventually, I hope.
تكليما directly to emphasize the fact that Allah spoke to him. مصدر مؤكد والمصدر مؤكد بكسر الكاف. قال العلماء إنه ينفي احتمال المجاز فدل على أنه كلام حقيقي لأن المصدر المؤكد ينفي احتمال مجاز. Now this kind of form of the language it's kind of the it negates the possibility of any doubt, right? It actually it negates metaphor or symbolic speech, right? Symbolism. The way the word is taklima means it cannot entertain metaphorical speech or symbolic speech, meaning you don't really mean, you don't really mean that, you mean something else. The way the word is put cannot accommodate these meanings. It must be understood in the literal sense. In the literal sense of the word. Is that clear? Meaning Allah spoke to Musa directly. أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ قُلْ جَاءَ زَيْدٍ فَيُفْهَمْ أَنَّهُ جَاءَ هُوَ نَفْسُهُ وَيُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمَعْنَى جَاءَ خَبَرُ زَيْدٍ وإن كان خلاف الظاهر لكن إذا أكدت فقل جاء زيد نفسه أو جاء زيد زيد انتفى احتمال المجاز. Now in the Arabic language if you say زيد has come, okay, or زاد زيد came, let's keep it the way it is in the same tense, you understand from that he came himself. However, it could be possible that is what is intended is that the news concerning زيد have come to you and not Zayd himself. This is possible in the Arabic language. يعني for example I say جاء أحمد and I could mean that the information concerning Ahmed has come to me and I don't mean him himself, even though this is not consistent with the apparent meaning, but it is a possible interpretation. One may do that, one may interpret it that way. However, if you say Zayd came himself or Zayd came, right? That means now you can no longer say, well, maybe it's something about Zayd. Now you have to believe that it is Zayd himself. He's just giving us an example to explain taklima negates any possible symbolic or metaphorical intent. It must mean in the literal sense of the word. فَكَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لِمُوسَى كَلَامٌ حَقِيقِيٌ بِحَرْفٍ وَصَوْتٍ سَمِيعَهُ. The speech of Allah to Musa is real with the letter used and the sound he heard. وَلِهَذَا جَرَتْ بَيْنَهُمَا مُحَاوَرَةٌ. This is why there was a conversation, a discussion between Allah and Musa. قَالَ مَا تِلْكَ وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى قَالَ أَلْقِهَا. يعني conversation, what is that in your hand, O Musa? He said, this is my staff, I use it to, and he mentioned what uses he has for it. قَالَ أَلْقِي. Allah said to him, throw it, O Musa. فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. There was a conversation, a discussion between Allah and Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. No one can deny that this is in the text of the Quran. كَمَا فِي سُورَةِ طَاهَا وَغَيْرَهَا as it is in وَغَيْرِهَا as it is in chapter of طَاهَا and otherwise. So I think with this, inshallah, we will conclude because we still have الآية السادسة والسابعة والثامنة والتاسعة. We still have maybe والعاشرة والحادية عشر. We still have around 5 to 6 verses which we will quote before we go on to the discussion that the Quran is the speech of Allah. Now first we are proving that Allah speaks, and now we prove that the speech of Allah is the Quran, or the Quran more particularly is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is if we all remain alive to next Saturday inshallah ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.